Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Oh, it's working. We're glad it's working. Just thank you for everybody that prayed as we were there in Natal in this week with Angus, just sharing our hearts and stuff, and just hearing all the testimonies of what God has done through the It's Time event. Wow, sure. I don't think people have an idea what happened behind the scenes, you know, with a budget of almost 40 million rand for the day. God has provided. One of the big miracles that happened was the fiber cable actually snatched in front of the stage. When they dug up the cable, they realized that the cable wasn't supposed to work. They took photos of it, the guy who set up all the sound of these 27 or 29 different stations. So there wasn't actually naturally supposed to be sound for that million people that arrived, but there was sound. So it's unexplainable how that worked, because if fiber snaps, then you can't get any sound or stuff through. So one after the other testimony, there's hundreds of testimonies of what God has done. And I think we're all experiencing a lot of that in our lives, that God is beginning to challenge us to live in the supernatural, to trust Him, to take Him on His word. And that's the series that we're doing in the morning, and on a life of the supernatural. I think for us as Christians, we so get used to getting used to not seeing God do supernatural things that we sort of like, we fall into a comfort zone. And especially for the church in the West, and this series is designed to challenge all of us, because I'm challenged, to step out of the boat, to say, Lord, we're not running after the supernatural, we're following Jesus. And when we follow Him, Scripture says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. In my name, they'll heal the sick. In my name, they'll do a lot of things. We don't follow those signs. We don't do that. But we've got the living waters, and that's where we, just to recap a little bit of what we did last week. But in John 7, verse 37 to 44, Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. And one of the signs, He said, is that out of His heart will flow rivers of living waters. He said, when you know the Holy Spirit, and so many people today believe, well, the Holy Spirit isn't for today anymore. The Holy Spirit died away many years ago, and the church doesn't need it. If ever there's a time we need the fullness of God in our lives, it's now. Amen. Whenever we need God to move, especially in our nation, and He's busy doing that, it's now. But Jesus said the picture that we'll have is out of your life, out of your heart will flow rivers of living waters, rivers of life. Just a couple of chapters before that, in John chapter 4, when He met this woman at the well, and it's one of those stories, you can almost miss the story if you read through it, but this woman came to the well. She was a Samaritan woman. Jesus wasn't even supposed to talk to her. And so he met her at the well, and then He said, I'm thirsty. And she looked at Him and she thought, like, wow, this man is crazy. He's a Jew. He's not supposed to talk to me. He's a rabbi. And they had this conversation. And at this well, He says to her, if you knew the gift, if you knew it is who gives this to you, and you know the gift that God wants to give you, you would have asked Him for living waters. And then later on in that same chapter, you can see that. Let me just give the verse to you, verse 14, John chapter 4, verse 14. He says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. Imagine we can bottle, especially in the Western Cape, a bottle of water, eh? And you say, when you drink of this water, you're never going to be thirsty again. Imagine we'll be billionaires over one night, eh? If you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Do we believe that when we come to Jesus, when you drink of what He wants to give to you, then you will never thirst again? I will never thirst again. What are we thirsty for? Sometimes for acceptance. Sometimes for recognition. Sometimes we we just want that happy place, that utopia. But Jesus said, no, I'm not just going to give you prosperity. God is not so much in prosperity, He's into His glory. And unfortunately, in the church, especially in the circles that we belong to, there's so much prosperity being taught, but we don't talk about glory. You know, God is more interested in His glory than in your and my well-being. And if we don't understand that, then we're going to get offended with God. And that's why in the charismatic circle, so many people get offended, jump from one church to another. Why? Because the expectation is wrong, because the wrong gospel is sometimes preached. No, there's not too many amens there, okay? But the amazing thing, and we read that in Romans 8, verse 15 to 19, at the end it says that the whole of creation is eagerly awaiting for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of God. When we say to the mountains, creation, hey, you're waiting for the sons and daughters of God to stand up in their authority, to stand up in the anointing that God has called us to do. And so there's an invitation. That invitation is for you and I to come and drink. But then that invitation is for us to be filled, so that out of our life will flow rivers of living waters. Out of our life, it will spring up like a fountain. And my question to you and to myself this morning is your life a fountain? Or is it a well that's stuck and there's a lot of stuff in there, but it's blocked? Now God wants to unblock that well. God wants you and I to live and experience Him, not because we're in performance orientation, but because we have a life. Because Jesus said, if you're going to know the Holy Spirit, you know what's going to happen? Fountains of life is going to spring up inside of you. Life and life in abundance. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I've come to give life and life in abundance. Say, Zoe life. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm this morning, okay? Zoe life means abundant life. Say, abundant life. Okay, there's some people agreeing with me on that side, and there's some people in here. But this block, we're going to get there. Okay, just stay with me. Stay with me. Okay. Now everybody's looking around. What block are you? Okay, but so the question when it comes to the supernatural has always been around this one thing. Do we go for God's holiness, or do we go for His power? And you get different streams in the church, because some people say, hey, you can do nothing without the fear of God. And some people say you can do nothing without the power of God. And you know what? Both is right. And both are wrong, if you just focus on one. So in Matthew 5 verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Galatians 5, 24, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We cannot have the supernatural if we don't live holy lives. And that's why the name for the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. What is holy means to be separate, to be different, to live a different lifestyle. Unfortunately, when I look at many Christians' lives, then do you know what happens is I think like, whoa, your life looks just like the world. There's no difference between your life and the people that live in the world. So how can the Holy Spirit feel welcome in our homes when there's just alcohol and sin, and the Saturday Christian and the Sunday Christian is two different people? Come on. Is our lives different? Does it look different? Because God is attracted to holiness. That's why it says, be holy as I'm holy. And so I'm sometimes a bit scared when it comes to people that talk about all the supernatural. And let me tell you a funny story. Because there are some people, you know, that are just crazy, and I'm not judging them. I don't, you know, but they look for different phenomena and weird things that must happen, you know. So the other day we were there at Angus's It's Time event, and it was, the sun was shining the whole day. So what happened is I got like sunscreen, But I didn't know that in the sunscreen there were like glitter. So, you know, it was probably a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old. So I sunscreened my whole face, everything, you know. So late in the night, I walked into this thing, you know, and but I didn't know that. So yeah, I'm walking into this restaurant place, and this lady walks up to me. She says, "Oh, coal dust! You are full of coal dust." I said, "What?" You know, I'm thinking like coal dust. I think like there was a lot of dust on the farm, you know, but then it was like. She says, no, let me take a photo. And she takes a photo, and it's like, and I'm standing there, I'm thinking like, lady, I don't know, you know, but I'm not into too much of that stuff. But so eventually when I saw the sunscreen bottle, I just saw like it's glitter all the way, you know. And I thought like, well, she's probably not going to write a story about the man with the thing in the gold dust in the face while it was just glitter on the sunscreen bottle, you know. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just thinking sometimes we're so looking for the signs, you know, that we can almost like miss God. So don't run after the signs. Don't shake so that you think that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. And I've told this story so many times. We were up north in Nigeria, in Lagos, and I was praying and I idol worshipped Reinhard Bonke a little bit. So I had the privilege to pray at the breakfast table. Okay, so if you've heard the story, just laugh again. Okay, it's just polite to do that. But there's like 8 of us sitting there, this team that I took up there, and his whole staff, and this is it before this massive outreach. And so he says, "Okay, Sias, will you please pray?" And I think like, oh, you know, this is my opportunity. So now I begin to pray. I say, "God, send down your fire. Lord, let your kingdom come." I'm praying like, you know, a good Pentecostal prayer. You know, I'm bringing it on, you know. Like I'm throwing all the passion and the emotion into that prayer, you know. And the second time when I pray for the fire, the next moment I just hear, "No," this German voice. "No, we don't pray like that." And I'm thinking, "Lord, let the rapture happen right now. This is a good time. Take us home right now." You know? Because I'm sort of trying to impress him, you know? And I thought, like, what a hypocrite, you know? I'm trying to impress him and all the people around. I'm not actually even praying to God, but I want to impress him because I've got so much fire, you know? And he says, "No, we don't pray like that. The Holy Spirit is already with us. We don't pray that the Holy Spirit fall on us." So he says, "Pray again." And I'm thinking, what am I going to pray now? Fortunately, I've memorized some scripture. "Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We shall do everything according to our, you know, to the riches in Christ Jesus in glory. And we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is come. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Because I realize you can't interrupt me when I pray scripture, okay? But, you know, sometimes we psych up all these emotions and all those things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let's just remain scriptural. Because if there's no word, there can be no holiness. There can be no separation. The Holy Spirit can only breathe on how much you know the Word of God. So the most powerful scriptures, and you know, in the charismatic circles, we sing a lot of emotional songs, but many of them are focused on us. There's too much I in those songs. But when you start to sing scripture, the demons flee. I have a pastor friend here from Elsie's River, and he just quotes the old King James. You know the old King James? "The Lord speaketh unto thyeth." Because he says demons don't flee when you quote the Message or the NIV. But when you bring the old King James, they go, he says. "The Lord speaketh unto thyeth, goeth forth and henceforth," you know, then all the demons go. And he believes that. That's like the pure form of the word. I just always laugh because I says, "I can't speaketh to dieth, cometh forth and goeth henceforth," you know. But so on the one side you have people that just say holiness, 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 but no power. But listen to this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I love this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. All. Jesus didn't just heal some. All who were oppressed by the devil. And listen to this, we can almost miss the whole scripture. For God was with him. That for me is the key to the healing of all, is God is with us. So we don't run after the all, we don't run after that, but you know, if God is with you, he is the healer, he is the deliverer. In 1 John 3, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sure. Jesus came into the earth not for us to have a comfortable existence and be nice, good Christians. Jesus is still on a mission. And our first mission should be him. And our second mission should be his call and his cause. It's to destroy the works of the devil. Our first mission is not the world. Our first mission is him, seeking God, knowing him, glorifying him, saying, God, I exist for your glory. Your first mission of your marriage is not happiness, it's to glorify him. The first mission of your relationships is not happiness, it's to glorify him. That's why you exist. That's why I exist. And we're not of this world. Can I get an amen? Okay, it means I agree. But he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that power, the word Acts 1 verse 8, is dunamis, dynamite. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And then you'll be my witnesses. Power is the word dunamis. Witness is the word martyr, where we get our word martyr from. He says, you'll die for me. You know, speaking to Angus this week and just realizing how many critics, apparently there were people going around with videos and saying of, you know, Angus is a false prophet. How many critical, negative people stood up? How many people were just like the most absurd accusations? But the most amazing thing is when you're going to move in the Holy Spirit, you must expect that. You must expect that people are going to call you a cult and a sect and a this and a that. Don't be thrown when people say that. Why? Because people are either going to accept the Holy Spirit or they're going to reject him. Because that's the Antichrist spirit. That's the spirit that is in the world. It's anti the anointing of God, anti that. But you know, sometimes that same spirit operates in our lives. When you say, no, this is too much. You know, the Holy Spirit is called your comforter. Why? Because you are going to be out of your comfort zone a lot of times. Then you're going to need comfort. Why? Because there's no comfort in your worldly circumstances. But that's where God begins to move. That's where he breathes. That's where he does things. It's not where you and I are in control. Are you with me? But when we take control of our lives, then it's easy to determine the outcomes. I'm just busy with the introduction, so I have to behave today. Okay, we're going to pick up some speed. Are you all right? Just do a thumbs up if you're right. Can we do thumbs up in church videos? I think so, yeah. Let's do a thumbs up. Okay. I'm just submitting to the eldership. Okay, so what does the Bible say about gifts? And we're going to run through a couple of scriptures just very quickly. The first one, he says, don't neglect. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 to 15, this is Paul writing to Timothy as a father to a son. He said, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. We're going to lay hands on people here this morning, and we're going to ask the small group leaders and the zone leaders to come to the front, and we're going to just lay hands on people, because sometimes we neglect the power of impartation. You know, one of the foundational doctrines that Scripture talks about in Hebrews is the laying on of hands, faith foundations, doctrine of baptisms. But one of the very basics is the laying on of hands. Because something happens when there's an impartation into your life. That's why scripture says, when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. He says, when Jesus says, even when you give somebody a cup of cold water in mine, and you give it in my name, do you know what? It's like you give it to me. Jesus said the same in Luke 10. He says, when you go into a city, find a house of peace. And when they receive you, leave your peace there. Impart life. And you know, if we don't live in this, in the supernatural, and we just live in the natural and by our emotions, then we don't know what a blessing we can leave and we can speak. And that's why here is where you and I have to commit ourselves to speak life. Because we can destroy through our words, or we can release blessing. And that's why Jesus, you would see these amazing words sometimes when we stood over Jerusalem. And he would just say, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. At the Feast of Lights, he would say, I am the light of the world. He would proclaim who he was to that city. Sometimes he would weep over Jerusalem and says, only if you would allow me to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. Oh, but you rejected the prophets, Jerusalem. And therefore, not one stone will be left upon another. And 70 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. Because Jesus saw that day because of the rejection of who he was and the prophets that God sent. Never reject the prophets in your life. Never reject the people that come with those words, okay? Because there's something beautiful, and that's why we belong to a community. That's why there's impartation. And so you and I, especially parents, lay hands on your kids every day. Send them, commission them. That's what we did here today. We're sending Ryan, we're sending Vainant. We say, you're not going in your own strength. We're asking God's blessing and the release of the heavenlies over him. That's why when you walk into your home or into your workplace tomorrow morning, just stand for 2 minutes in front of that big door where you enter in your work and say, thank you, Lord, that you are with me. I'm not on my own mission here. Thank you that you go before me. But see, we neglect those things. And that's why Paul writes to Timothy, he says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. You can be ignorant of the gift. That means you make nothing of it. You don't think it exists. But yeah, he's writing to Timothy, that is a leader that's standing up, that must rule over a whole church and lead the whole church. And he says, Timothy, I tell you, don't neglect it. We've prayed over you. We've laid hands on you. We've sent you. But Timothy, you can neglect that gift. And it's almost like you get distracted with a lot of other things. But he says, meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them. Surrender yourself to the call of God on your life. You know, if I had to go through the chairs here and I would say, can you tell me, are you called? What has God called you for? Then I think probably about 80% of people today don't know that they've been called by God. That doesn't mean like going to Africa and preach the gospel. But you know, you've been called to go into your workplace. You've been called to be in your family. You've been called to pray. You've been called to Stellenbosch if you're a member of Stellenbosch. If you're living here, you've been called here by God. You're not here by chance. You've got a mission here. And that's why Jesus, even before the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, he laid hands on them, he anointed them, appointed them, looked in, and he sent them. He says, go into every place where I'm about to go. Because Jesus understood the authority of sending and receiving. And that's why we need to do the same. When somebody has gone out somewhere to do something, let's receive them. Let's send them. You know, in 2 weeks' time, we're sending 270 students, 260 students to 27 different nations. And we're going to lay hands on them and we're going to send them. And I want you, if you're staying behind, I want you to pray for them. One church to 27 different nations. And maybe you're not going, but you know what? Please pray. Because it's just as important to pray as to go. But we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray them. We're going to send. We're going to commission them. And say, Father, no weapon formed against them will prosper. Because we have that authority. If we understand spiritual things. Am I speaking to spiritual people here? Okay. I'm not here today to preach a nice sermon to you. I'm here to challenge you because I'm challenged. Because if we say we're spiritual people, we must live spiritual lives. And I say, God, We're going to give ourselves entirely to Jesus first, but then to that call. In Hebrews 5, you know, the scripture challenges us to use the gifts. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, when I was just at school, got spirit-filled, the teacher that discipled us, he left at the end of that year, and then another guy came, you know, and I'll never forget it, but we were two leaders, and there was a massive revival at school. We were 200 children just praying, 200 guys just praying for the kingdom of God to come. And then this another guy came. We said, God, and this older man walked in there, and I remember the day when he walked into the door, my whole spirit just said, something wrong, something wrong with this man. And then he came and he did it at a discipleship group or a Bible study, and he started to speak, and he knew scripture like every, he could quote scriptures like this. And for 3 weeks in a row, my friend and I, Zander, we just prayed and we said, God, there's something wrong with this man. So we went to another teacher that was spiritful, and we said, look here, will you please come and sit in on these sessions, because there's something wrong. My spirit is just discerning that there's something wrong with this man, although he's preaches all the right scriptures. And he knows the Bible. And eventually, after 4 weeks, then we started to pray. He said, God, if there's anything wrong, expose. Show it. After 4 weeks, this man was caught in as a pedophile. Was exposed. Because you know what? Your spirit talks to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Sometimes it's going to be a business deal, and the Holy Spirit is just going to say, hands off. Don't go there. And then you have to learn as a Christian. You have to know. And that's why it says, by reason of use, have your spirits exercised. Say, by reason of use, have my spiritual senses exercised. I don't know if you've gone, you know, one day we played Laser Quest. Do you know what Laser Quest is? Laser Quest is you run around in this big factory and then you shoot people. Okay, but it's with guns, but there's no bullets in it. It's like you run around and there's two teams against each other, and one has got like a green jacket and the other one a red jacket. Now, I'm colorblind, so it didn't help me at all. Now you have to shoot the other team. So I just shot everybody that moved. So I think I got minus 50, you know, while the others got all 300 points, I got like minus 50. But, you know, so this guy gave us like extra time. So we, instead of playing half an hour, we played 2 hours. We ran up and down. It was crazy. We enjoyed it so much. Now, I was still working as an accountant in Somerset West then, and or a financial manager then. But so I remember there were like these stairs up. I was on the third floor. And so the day after Laser Quest, I could not move. Because Laser Quest makes you go like this all the time. Now, you feel so good while you're busy with that. Oh, my chona machantas. Do you know how I walked up the stairs? Let me show you. I would check if there was somebody there coming up the stairs. And then I'll stand like this. And then I'll reverse up. Hello. I could not move for 3 days. Every muscle that I didn't even know about was stiff. It was just like, oh, you know? Because when you're out there, then you think like, whoa, this is crazy. But you know what? You have to exercise your muscles. But if it's true in the natural, spiritually, it works exactly the same. It's an everyday thing, living in that place with God. And that's why Scripture says, hey, I wanted to give you meat, Paul writes, but I can only give you milk. He basically says, grow up. Corinthians, he says the same. The whole book of Corinthians is the book of correction, where he challenges a charismatic church and says, hey guys, get up with the program. Wake up, he says. Because I want to give you solid food, but you're not skilled. And so God is calling the church universally, especially in the West, say, hey, stop, move away from the grace, move away from, not from the grace gospel, and the prosperity and all that stuff, is that's just nice, because otherwise you're going to get itchy ears. You're going to go to where you want to just listen. You can ask, there's a guy here in church. The other day we met somebody that preaches at a massive charismatic church. I was ashamed. This pastor was swearing, using the F word, drinking whiskey after the other, and he preached at one of the biggest churches in South Africa. And I was standing there, I was thinking like, how does this work? God wants us to live spirit-filled lives. But it comes out of a holiness, a consecration team. Okay, the last scripture. Are you with me? Then we're going to pray. Paul writes to Timothy again. Now, Timothy is a young guy, and Timothy needs to begin to stand up in the authority that God has given him. But in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, he reminds Timothy, and that's why we need to remind each other. We need to remind each other of our spiritual birthright. He says, don't just neglect it, use the gifts. But he says something more. He uses another word here in 2 Timothy. Maybe you are here today, and you're not used to the gifts or the supernatural. I want to encourage you to pursue it. The Bible says pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So desire it, but pursue love. But God is doing the most amazing things in the world today. There are churches in Indonesia where there are 14-year-old pastors that are leading churches of 20,000 people. Because do you know what? Maturity, Christian maturity, has got nothing to do with your natural age. It's got all got to do with your relationship and your seeking of God. And so yeah, Timothy is a young man, and Paul is telling him, Timothy, do you know what? I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Same thing. He says, we gave you those gifts. It's not like they gave him the gifts, and we need to be technically correct. He says, we released what is already in you. We opened up the treasure chest, the gift that you have, because you have the same Holy Spirit than what I have, but I can't give my gifts to you. You can't give your gifts to somebody else. You can just release it or impart what is already there. And this is now the scripture we quote, verse 7. We say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But many times we quote it out of context. We quote it in the context of fear. The right word is actually intimidation. Because Timothy was a young man, and Timothy felt so intimidated by all these other people that told him what he couldn't do. And now Paul reminds him and he says, Timothy, the answer to break the fear in your life, because you have a spirit of a sound mind, you have a spirit of love and of power, but the answer lies in the previous verse. You need to stir up the gift that God has given you. So we quote, oh, you have not received the spirit of fear, and then we leave people right there. But what is the answer? He says, I remind you, stir up the gift. Move in what God has called you, because there comes a confidence when you step up to what God has called you to do. When you step up to that, what God says, what has God got to say about that issue in your life? Not what the circumstances say or what people say. What has God got to do and what God to say? And that's why some translations use the word fan the flame. It's like that little fire you have and you put wood on it and you just add wood and then suddenly you're like, I don't know. Is there any Gauteng people? Yeah. Okay. I don't know why they brought this Gauteng, you know, briquettes and charcoal, you know. You stand there and then you're like, and you think that fire is dead. I like the, you know, where it goes like you can see the fire, okay? Anybody with me on that, you know? But these briquettes, we love Namibia, but, you know, Namibia briquettes, all that stuff, you know. You can't see the fire, you know. So now you know, and eventually you blow yourself to pieces. So I like the wood, and that's the picture it has here. You place wood on it, and then you slowly start to put that fire in, and you start to blow, and then suddenly the fire goes. And that's the picture. He says, Timothy, fan the flame, stir up the gift. Every day start to move in that place. And it starts with how do we do that just practically, and then we're going to finish. That was the last scripture, but practically we're focusing. I'm giving you some stuff. It says there's a daily consecration. That's why we call it quiet time. A daily yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, don't be drunk with wine. The world has gone drunk. The world has gone drunk on advertising, on alcohol. The world is going crazy in the one direction. And Paul writes in Ephesians, says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled. And we get baptized, but then we continually yield to the Holy Spirit every day. So daily consecration. The second thing is praying in the Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I pray more in the Spirit than all of you together. He writes to a whole church. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 says, there's a spiritual mystery that you speak to God. Stay in the Word. Write the Word on the doorpost of your heart. Write it in there. It's so amazing when you go to the persecuted countries. And I think I told you the story of this lady we met in Iran. And their pastor just got into jail. I'll never forget it in my life. And I was standing there and I thought, like, wow, 2 weeks before we came there, this pastor was jailed. And I said to her, sure, lady, this must be tense that your pastor is in jail. She says, no. I thought, like, oh, chona, you know. She says, no, because he's been preaching a false gospel. So he must be in jail so that he gets refined a little bit so that he can preach the pure, undiluted word of God. So God needs to refine him a little bit. I said, lady, please don't pray for me. <You know? laughs> Please don't pray for us in the West. You know? And I thought, for some people in the church today, all the world, there's a different standard. I remember meeting this guy in Egypt. I said, how can we pray for you? What can we do? He says, well, you can pray for us, but please don't send people from the West. We don't want your false gospel. You see, because we don't know how much we actually, in the gospel, we preach just prosperity. Hey, God is here because God is actually serving you. God is actually serving me. I'm doing God a favor by coming to church. It's such an effort. Oh. Yo, the guy's preaching long today. Sure. But see, when you've seen the man from Galilee, when he stood in front of you, when you've seen him hung on the cross, despised, full of shame, rejected by the world, when you've seen the fire in his eyes, when you've seen Jesus, what excuse have you and I got of busyness, of living our own lives? What is your excuse, sir? Have you seen that man of Galilee and yielded yourself to him and says, God, without you, I'm nothing. I am nothing. Until you've met him there at that burning bush, or you've met him in that moment when he stands in front of you and you realize you've got nothing to give to him. Until that time, you're still on your throne. He's not Lord of your life. He's not Lord of my life. But I can tell you one thing. I've met that man and he's my best friend. And I'll do anything for him. Whatever he asks of me. Because I was supposed to hang on that cross. And it's not an intellectual thing I'm going through. It's not a religious experience. I know that nails was meant for me. It had my name on it. It went through his hands. But you see, until we come to the cross, we can play church, we can play good Christianity, but we'll have no power because the power lies in the blood. The power lies in that place of nothingness and complete surrender. And God is waiting, God is looking for a generation. So, you see, and then you need to surround yourself with the right fellowship, and sometimes you just need to get out of the boat. When last did you take a step of faith that you realized, like, I'm going under, I'm going to sink here if God doesn't come through. It's called faith. Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. It's only faith that pleases him. And every day is a faith journey. You see, all of us, as we're sitting here today, we've got a story. And some of it, stuff we don't like. Some of it is good stuff. Some of it, bad stuff. We've got a story. And this world is crooked. This world is going in one direction. But then there's the righteous, the children of God. I'm going to ask the ushers to bring the communion as we're going to take communion. And we're going to just come together. And we're going to say, God, we want our spiritual birthright. We're going to start a little bit with repentance. And we're going to say, God, would you please heal us from compromise? We want to be a holy people, but we want to see your power manifest in the way that you said in the scripture. And we are ready, Lord, to walk out of comfort. I know it's tough because, hey, I'm fighting a little bit with us today, but it's about your inheritance. It's about your legacy. It's about my legacy. Don't opt for any other thing. Because you and I are going to stand before him one day. Shofar is not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. Your wife, your husband is not going to be there. You are going to stand in front of Jesus alone one day. You're going to look in those eyes. And my prayer for you is that he will say, wow, well done. Well done, you stood. Even when all hell broke loose against you. And for some of us, it's small steps. For some of us, it's huge steps. For some of us, it's the rich young ruler that must sell everything. And for others, it's just, hey, just hang in there. Hang into that place. Because maybe you're going through a tough time. You know, the other day we prayed, you can ask Vidius, we prayed for a guy here, 24 years old, cancer of the liver, cancer of the colon. Gerbrand, who was studied here last year, he's working now. You know, just before the It's Time event. And I remember him standing here. I think, Liesl, you also prayed, eh? You and Louis prayed. We laid hands on him because he said, hey, scripture says, come to the church. Let the elders pray for you. Let them lay hands on you. And I could see that there was so much fear in his life. But he came and he said, this is what scripture says. We're going to trust God. His dad is a pastor. And so we prayed for him. We laid hands on him. And do you know what? Gerbrand is healed. On Thursday, no cancer. All the cancer is gone. Let's give God an applause. Amen. But we've also prayed for people and they didn't get healed. And then the most amazing testimony is when those people come and say, I will not curse God. Because he's faithful. Sometimes things happen that we don't understand. But it doesn't change anything about God. Amen? Doesn't change anything about the fact that we keep on praying. We keep on standing. We say, God, we're going to encourage each other. We're going to live a life of the supernatural. And some of you have gone lots of prodigal roads. You've run far. But you're still here. And God is saying, well done. But when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith in the earth? You see, what are you and I going to present him? It's just that gold, refined faith. That place. And so what we're going to do today specifically is around this communion, we're going to celebrate each other as gifts. The greatest gift for us is Jesus. Where God says, I'm going to give you a gift, the gift of salvation, my son, my best. And then God gives us people around us that we can walk with. And as we're going to do that, we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Holy Spirit and we're going to say, sorry, Holy Spirit, that we sometimes quench you. We sometimes grieve you. But my prayer really as a leader in this church is that every person here will step up and say, God, I've been called to the ministry. Every one of you will realize there's a calling on your life and you'll begin to live it out. Because the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit on you. And then I want to invite you to bring the sick next week. We're going to have a healing service. We're going to pray for the sick. Bring anybody you can find. But don't come because we're going to have a healing service. Come with your faith. Come prayed up and say, God, we're going to trust you. We've seen it the last couple of weeks. Every week. Where's Marty? She's here. Where's Marty? I saw her here somewhere. Marty DeLeo, where's she? Come quickly. Come share with us. I know it's a bit putting you on the spot while we're waiting for the communion stuff. If you haven't got juice, then please raise your left hand. If you haven't got bread, then please raise your right hand, okay? Okay, left hand, some juice here, and then in front. You guys there in front, and yeah. Okay, quickly share with us. Donnie, there's a couple of people here that need some. Have you got some more juice?
Hello, everyone. Okay, so to quickly tell you my healing story, how God healed me. I had a cyst on my left ovary, and then I found out, I went to the doctor, and then he told me, no, I need to go for an operation so that they can remove the cyst. It was quite big, and it was going to be problematic if I didn't get an operation. So I had a lot of time before the operation to pray and just take it to the Lord. And it was quite emotional for me, but I knew I had to take it to the Lord because I cannot go with this fear into this operation. So I prayed a lot, and I went to a lot of people to pray with me. And then the one night, the Lord also just showed me the picture of the cross. And he said, it is finished, and he's going to come and do something, and it is finished. And everything he did on the cross is enough, and his blood is enough. And then I called the doctor in preparation for the operation, and he said, no, the operation is not going to be now. He first wants to do another scan. So I was sort of frustrated, and I was so ready for this, and I asked God, why can't the operation just be now? Why can't it just be over? And I experienced that God said, there's a reason why the operation is not going to be now. I have a plan. And so I was actually very expectant to go to the doctor because I knew God is going to do something. And beforehand, the day when I had to go to the doctor, I was scared and I was crying, but I told the Lord that my emotions are all over the place and they're not what it should be, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm still trusting you, and doesn't change my faith. And the Lord told me, like, today you can just rest, and I'm going to do something today, and I'm going to do it because of who I am. You don't have to be strong now. I'm going to do something because it's my character and I want to do it. So I could just rest in his presence, and then in his presence, this absolute peace came upon me, and I could just go to the doctor without fear. And then the doctor did a scan, and he said he saw that the cyst fell flat, and that it was actually disappearing out of my body. And he's like, oh yeah, no, everything is completely normal. Everything is completely fine. And the doctor was so chilled. He's like, okay, now you can go home. And meanwhile, I went through all of this. But he's like, so he said, I'm completely healed. So praise Jesus for that, for a complete restoration. No need for an operation, nothing. It is finished there. And his word, and he said it, and it happened. And then it's finished. Thank you.
Okay, great. Has everybody got bread and wine? Anybody that's missed out that hasn't got? Okay. I want us to quickly turn to each other as we're going to just respond. Maybe God wants you just to celebrate each other. Just two or three. I don't want anybody to sit alone. Somebody must come and sit here with Auntie Kumi. And I'm going to pray for us, and then just two or three in a group together. Everybody find a group somewhere as we're gonna partake and just just celebrate the Lord's death. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Sure. Thank you for the greatest gift ever, your Son, Jesus. And as we sit together around this table, Lord, that you have made, we thank you, Lord, that as families, as friends, as a church, we come to say, Lord, we remember. We will not forget what you have done on the cross. Lord, we thank you for every person that is here, that is not here by chance today. But we celebrate every person. Lord, there's some people even here that needs healing. They have never been received by their own families. They have never been celebrated, Lord, by people around them. And we want to thank you, Lord, that today we receive them also as gifts unto us. We celebrate them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your bread, the blood. We thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was shed. And today, Lord, as we sit around with each other, we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that we'll breathe yourself on us again. We say, Lord, you are welcome in our lives. Lord, you are welcome to release people as gifts and also the gifts on people here today. We thank you. We thank you that the cross is enough. It is finished. Hallelujah. I want us just to share bread and share the cup with each other. And if God lays something on your heart, share it with each other. Or maybe you need prayer. Then just before you take together, then just share that with each other. And let's take, we're going to take 2 or 3 minutes just to do that. So share with each other or pray for each other.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.